OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties, one county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that gold spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7.30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
All right, you're very welcome along to Thursday's football show. If you missed John Giles earlier, he was picking his all-time Republic of Ireland 11. You can catch that on offtheball.com. For the next little while, we're going to focus on the League of Ireland, as there is understandably a huge amount of uncertainty as to when and if professional football can return in this country. I'm joined on the line by Vinnie Perth, manager of the Premier Division champions Dundalk. Evening, Vinnie.
Evening, how you doing, Nathan?
Good, good. We're going to be joined in just a little while as well by Shelburne player Luke Byrne and also the Sligo Rovers treasurer David Rowe, so we can get a good grasp of the situation that's facing people at different levels of the game. I might just try and outline the current lie of the land. The league was suspended in mid-March, just 5 games played. The hope now is that there could be a 27-game season potentially. This week, though, we've seen Waterford United have temporarily laid off all their staff. That followed on from Sligo Rovers and from St. Patrick's Athletic. We have half the clubs available of the government's COVID scheme for paying their players. We have other clubs taking pay cuts. The FAI, it does seem, are genuinely working very hard on a number of proposals, trying to get games back underway over the coming weeks and months behind closed doors. Niall Quinn, in the last 24 hours, potentially suggesting that all games could take place either at the Aviva Stadium or possibly at neutral venues, setting up 4 different hubs around the country. There's been a lot of talk about streaming matches, potentially as a revenue stream, though there could well be issues there around current broadcasting deals. Either way, I guess, all in all, nobody really knows what's either financially viable or what can 100% guarantee the safety of players. It's a pretty desperate situation, Vinny, for everybody in all walks of life. And a lot of people feel we shouldn't even be talking about the return of sport. Where do you stand on that, first of all? Because sport is a business like any others. It is different in terms of social distancing and how far apart people can actually work in terms of their day job. Do you think it's right and proper that we are having these discussions about when football could return?
Yeah, I think. Listen, I completely understand. At the moment, we're in the middle of a massive pandemic and we're very concerned about health, and health comes first. And there's no doubt that we will be guided by the HSE and whatever recommendations they give us, and as same as any other sporting body. But there does come a point where people in sport have to be recognised in the sense of they're an industry. So on the 18th of this month, building sites can go back to work, and once they stick to social distancing and the rules that are in place. And I also think sport has a part to play in society and how we fix and get back to the new normality that's on the way. So within reason, I think sport and organisations have to look at getting back to work and protecting the jobs, protecting the industry. I mean, I speak for Dundalk alone, but there's 50 full-time jobs in Dundalk, and you know they need to be protected. And you know, TDs will a medium-sized company like that was in under threat in any way, shape or form. Local TDs would speak out, local councillors would help people. So again, very careful not to cross the line here. Ultimately, health is the first and foremost, and if we can work within the guidelines, sport would be looking to get back about its business in a safe manner to protect the industry that football is in this country.
I mentioned some of the cutbacks there that other clubs have had to take. So Dundalk have a full-time staff of over 50 people. What's happened in Dundalk over the last couple of months in terms of cutbacks? Because from the outside, we would look at Dundalk, and because of the success, and particularly the European success and the revenue that has brought to the club, that it has a financial status that's different to pretty much every other club within the league. Have you been able to maintain wages for all 54 staff members?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak on behalf of the football side of the business. That's what I protect and look after and sort of manage. So from in that sense, we, you know, the board have been very good. They've agreed to honour all contracts. You know, as a business, there's no doubt we're struggling. Like any other business, our revenue has the tap has just completely been knocked off. So there is challenges. There is we don't sit in an ivory tower up in Dundalk, but there's no doubt the success over the last 7-8 years on the pitch and what we've earned in revenue has made it a bit easier for us. And you know, we're very conscious that other clubs have, particularly the lads in Waterford and what they've gone through this week, very conscious of those people. And as I said, we don't sit in an ivory tower and think how good we are, but we are sure that we are lucky at the moment, and we do have very much a board and owners who are willing to back us and support us. And ultimately, as it currently stands, we'll be playing Champions League football this year until that changes. UEFA have insisted on that, so we've got to be ready and we've got to have our players ready. So we're in a position of strength because of what we've done in the last 7 years, but we're very conscious of what else everyone else's situation in the league.
Every club and every sport is in a different situation. And we saw the GAA yesterday pushing back inter-county football until October at the earliest. Obviously, it's not a professional sport. And then you look at rugby, where the provinces, it seems, have sort of using this as their close season, that they're ending the season in preparation, potentially, for a very long year next year as they try and make up the lost ground in terms of games. What have you been doing at Dundalk? Are you keeping the players ticking over, ready to come back in a month, 6 weeks' time, or have you given them an extended break, knowing that you're probably not going to be back till late July, August at the very earliest?
No, we haven't. The players have been, you know, working away. They've been very busy in the sense of the fitness level. So if we play a European game in 6 weeks, 8 weeks' time, depending on when that is, we can't go from a situation where we've had November, December off in our off season, not knowing what was ahead. Another 2 months off, you know, around this period. We'll have 4 months off in a 6-7 month window. It's just not doable. So the players have been busy. I've tried to mix it up. We've had a Dundalk bake-off, for example, last week, a virtual bake-off that was one of the most divisive things I've ever done in the club. There was killings over it. Absolutely. It was pretty amazing. So, yes, we've mixed it up, but it has been, we have to keep them fit. We have to keep them ticking over. To be fair, the players want that and they're striving for that sort of them goals and them training sessions to keep themselves at the highest level.
We're also joined by Luke Byrne of Shelburne on the line. Evening to you, Luke.
How are you, Nathan? You're all right? How are you, Vinny?
So we've just been chatting with Vinny there about, well, what's been happening so far. From your point of view as a player, what have the last couple of months been like for you?
Yeah, they've obviously been strange. Like, gone from having a hectic schedule and coming off the back of a good pre-season and getting the first few games out of the way, and then for it all to be shut down is obviously, you know, disappointing. But it's more kind of the everyday life that takes some adjusting to. We're used to a lot of structure and being kept busy, but me personally, like, my job has stopped temporarily. So really, I went from doing an awful lot to doing very little. But the club have been very good. We've been on Zoom calls, you know, strict times, same day every week, you know, 3-4 nights a week doing different things. And personally, I've had college exams, which I finished the other day, and I've done a couple of other bits and pieces online to do with coaching. So I've been trying to keep myself busy, but it's very difficult to, you know, replicate what we're used to.
So are you one of those players who's been temporarily let go?
Not from my football club, no. Shelburne have been brilliant. They've honoured our contract 100% and they've committed to doing that for the foreseeable future. But my job outside of football has temporarily stopped.
Just in terms of what may happen then, obviously the PFAI are constantly, it seems, in negotiations with the FAI. What we've been hearing today is that September the 1st is now a prospective return date, but all of this will come down to social distancing across all aspects of the footballing operation, except for the actual 90 minutes itself. So only the 90 minutes of the game will be the only period where social distancing measures will be lifted, strictly enforced in all other sectors such as travel and training, which would obviously then require a huge change in approach from staff, coaches, players, from training methods to how players get to the matches. From your point of view, Luke, what would it take for you to be happy to go back playing football? Or maybe you'd be happy right now, like, to feel safe on a pitch. Do you think that's possible this year?
I'd like to think so. I'm involved in the PFAI meetings every week as the delegate from Shelburne, so I've been kept in the loop and trying to relay what we're told back to the rest of the team. And Stephen McGuinness, from his conversations with the FAI, seems to be confident that, you know, something can be struck and they can pull it off. But I think as much as you want to get back playing, and look, we all want to get back playing desperately as soon as possible, the most important thing is that players feel safe. And I've had a lot of conversations with lads, and they have genuine reservations, you know, about how kind of strict the testing will be. And I think people are sceptical as to how safe they can really make the environment on a Friday night, because there's a lot of people involved in the game, and all those players live with people who might have jobs, and the kind of the net of people you're exposed to is quite high. And even though we're young and fit, and, you know, not to disrespect the virus at all, but obviously it can be more cruel towards older people. A lot of us live with older people and people who can be at risk. So I think that's the main worry of a lot of players.
We're also joined now by Sligo Rovers treasurer David Rowe. Evening, David.
Hello, how are you?
So we've just been listening to Vinnie Perth and Luke Byrne outlining their situations over the last couple of months. I know you were on with us right at the start of this crisis, wondering as to how sustainable running a club would be over the coming weeks and months. Sligo took the decision, it seems, very early in this to temporarily let go of their staff. What was the reasoning behind that?
I suppose the reasoning behind it was financial survival. We're, I suppose, more community funded than gate receipt funded. We're outside European prize money for a number of years at this stage. And it was out of necessity. And it was to make sure, I suppose, that we had a decent club coming out the far end of this. So, you know, when our income was shut down almost overnight through lack of matches, and our fundraising would have been very seriously impaired as well, we really had no choice. So it was out of necessity and long-term protection of a very good soccer club. So we did it to survive, basically.
What then, David, would it take for Sligo Rovers to be in a position to return to football, on the presumption that we are going to be playing games behind closed doors until the end of 2020 at the very least?
It would take a number of things. First of all, we'd have to be happy with the health situation and the medical, you know, the medical advice, including from our club doctor, would be extremely cautious at the moment. We would have to have players happy to play. I just missed the end of what Luke was saying there. So we'd have to have players happy to play. We'd have to be happy that we were putting people out in a safe environment. We would have to have our insurers happy that they were going to continue with personal accident and injury. We would have to have the players' union in a position where if something happened, that it wasn't going to end up in a claim against the club. And I suppose underwriting all of that, it would need to be financially sustainable for us. So for us, that means not only gate receipts, but, you know, in like last year, our fundraising is reasonably well out there. We raised 500,000 in door-to-door and other fundraisers. You know, we obviously can't do that at the moment. So it would take a significant amount of money for us to financially survive in a behind-closed-door scene. So it's hard for me to see where that would come from.
Yeah, that does seem to be the difficulty, even reading Neil O'Riordan in The Sun today, Vinny, saying that maybe this windfall from FIFA that there was a hope may come down the track may not actually be there after all. So Dundalk are financially, it seems, in quite a secure position right now. How worried would you be that if and when they come to some sort of an agreement as to a potential for football to come back, that for the vast majority of clubs, football behind closed doors just won't be viable, and that we may be in a situation where for half the clubs in the league, it's just not worth their while coming back playing football this year?
Yeah, well, I understand that's a viewpoint, and I respect that viewpoint. But, I mean, I'm very concerned that we say we can't do anything, and we just wash our hands of it. I mean, David has made, and you know what a brilliant club Sligo is. We were there for the semi-final of the FAI Cup. It was a proper ground, a proper atmosphere, and but David has made the point that their, you know, gate receipts aren't what drives the club. It's funding, and so then at the same time, it's all about, it's not all about finance, but ultimately we're going to be dictated, everybody in the league, in terms of the HSC saying when we are and when we're not able to play football. As it, from what I can see, they've given us some dates we can work towards. Some clubs don't seem to be able to or sort of want to work towards them dates for their own various reasons. Things like insurance. You know, I have to ask the question, why would a football club need insurance over a building site, over a Tesco's, over a local garage? I mean,
Well, I guess technically, Vinny, all of those businesses should be able to enforce some form of social distancing, the type that you can't enforce on a football pitch when you might have 18 players going up for a corner kick.
Yeah, so and I accept that, but we're very early to be dismissing trying anything. Very, very early to dismiss it. The world is changing. Every week there's a different, scenarios, there's different things being thrown at us, things are improving. They may disimprove, and we may not play football this year in match competitiveness. But again, the document that was laid out by the HSE clearly states that, you know, football will take place in around, or sporting events in around phase five. Yes, it's behind closed doors. And we don't, and you know, people have dismissed closed doors as saying it won't work, and maybe it won't. And I'm not sitting in any ivory tower in Dundalk saying everything will work and let's just get back to playing football. Far from it. But we have to try. We have to explore everything to the inch of its life. For too long, League of Ireland was accused of not trying anything different. When I look at again, Sligo are lead the way in fundraising. They have a brilliant virtual fundraising match organised for next week, where they're selling halftime tickets, raffle tickets, full-time, download a match program, and they're building a game around a virtual game. Now, I'm just saying, can we not, as a club, at least have a document where we've tried to investigate to the inch of its life whether behind closed doors streaming games can work, instead of, and I'm not accusing anybody in particular of it, but instead of just dismissing it and looking for reasons why not to do something, League of Ireland as an industry needs to be very careful that we don't lose the hard work that's gone on over the last sort of 20 years. People are even talking about winter football again, and that scares me, because the result of Irish clubs in the last number of years in Europe, in, since we've gone to summer football, two clubs have got to the group stage of the Europa League. We need to be careful that we don't lose that hard work that's been done on the pitch. But at the same time, you know, my comments are guarded against. Once the HSC, once the guidelines allow us to do it, let's try and let's be seen to try and do something a little bit different.
David, the FAI, it seems, every 24 hours are coming up with new, slightly different ideas as to how football could return. I presume you're privy to a lot of the conversations that are going on, and what seems to be coming out is that there's some concern about the lack of detail, particularly around the financials in the FAI proposals. Would that be your concern as well, that while there's a lot of good ideas, that financially for most clubs this just simply may not stack up?
Yeah, to be fair to the FAI, I think might slightly disagree with Vinny there. I think they are going to the nth degree to try and get football back up and running in this country. I think they're
I think in fairness, Vinny's point wasn't the FAI, was maybe that certain clubs.
No, I think the FAI have been excellent, and it shows you the real change since what we had before. I don't think the last government of the FAI would even be having conversations with us, to be honest with you. I think the new FAI have deserve a huge amount of credit.
Yeah. No, that's fair, and I agree with that, and they are going to the nth degree. And like, I suppose all the clubs are in different positions. That, like, that's an important point to make. And yeah, no, it's really easy to kind of say no and all the reasons, but we know what our position is, and it's not that we're fixated. Sorry, it's not that we've a fixation on playing or not playing. Of course, we want to play. We're a football club, but it has to work for us from a business point of view, and we're not in the luxury that say Dundalk are in, and you know, fair play to them, massive success on the pitch, which we all envy. And you know, we're not sitting on substantial cash reserves that allow us, you know, do all the things that Dundalk are maybe able to do at the moment. We would actually probably slightly prefer actually return to winter football. But we again have a different perspective on that. But you know, I do think that the FAI are right in trying to explore every avenue of getting us back and playing. That's what we all want. But you know, we can't, you know, be forced to put out, you know, half the squad we have at the moment and half are under 19s or whatever that might look like. But there is definitely a lack of there is a lack of detail, and there's a huge amount of jumping at any available window without having the whole thing thought through. And you know, we're concerned that we want to have a long, you know, we don't want to run Sligo Rovers into the ground. And you know, I'm sure Vinny shares that concern because he wants good well run clubs to play against. So you know, it's a matter of financial survival. It's not a matter of, again,
yeah,
and I retire and say, look, we don't want to play. Of course we want to play. That's what the club's about. But it has to stack up for us, and it has to work. And Cork would be in a similar position. Finn Harps would be in a similar position as well. Like any of the community-funded clubs, this is tougher on.
Yeah, but to be fair to Dundalk, they haven't always... I mean, you know, I've worked with clubs where we've sold lotto tickets, we've done collections, packed bags. You know, as I said to you, every League of Ireland club has gone through that over the last number of years. As I said, we don't sit in an ivory tower in Dundalk and dismiss everyone else in the league and their views. Just because we are where we are at the moment, we understand the difficulty every club has. You look what's happened at Shelbourne, the way they've been rebuilding themselves over the last number of years, very similar to Dundalk, and they can be the next Dundalk in 7 or 8 years' time. So absolutely, we need everyone to be together, but we also need everybody open-minded, and I'm not sure that is the case in every team and every club in the league.
Why wouldn't that be the case, do you think, Vinny? Why wouldn't every club want, presuming it is financially viable, why would every club not want to get back out on the pitch?
Well, I suppose that's not for me to answer. My concerns with that is that clubs have dismissed stuff so quickly. We had a president of a club on live on news saying, 6-1 news saying, behind closed doors and streaming just won't work. Just works straight away. My understanding is that club haven't surveyed their fans, haven't gone to the inch of its life to investigate it. And again, that's the problem with League of Ireland. We're too quick to dismiss stuff, too quick not to try new things and think outside the box. And there's no reason why Sligo can't be the next Dundalk. They had their day in the sun not that long ago, and I think they're such a good club in terms of their structure, in terms of their stadium, that in fairness to them, they're one of the ones that can get to the level and get back on top and back in Europe again. So we need to be careful that we don't lose the ground we've made, and we're open-minded. And it's not for me to say why some clubs have been dismissive of things that could work. And ultimately, as I said, they may not work, but at least be open-minded. And I think we're lacking that a little bit at the moment.
Luke, would you share any of those concerns that Finney has, that certain clubs, as you say, are writing off a lot of what's been put out there? And listen, there probably is a little bit of kite flying from the FAI just to see what can gain a little bit of momentum, because who knows where we're all going to be in 10 weeks, 2 months, 3 months' time. Would you share concerns that actually there's certain people within the game here that simply aren't open-minded enough to getting football back?
Yeah, I would agree with what Vinny was saying. I think, first of all, we're lucky that there's new governance in the FAI when the disaster struck of the pandemic, because, like the lads have said, the previous regime probably wouldn't have even entertained this idea and wouldn't have explored the possibilities of getting the league going behind closed doors. And I think the reality is, if clubs aren't willing to get back playing behind closed doors, I mean, I'm not an expert, but I've listened to a lot of things recently and on the likes of Off the Ball, and there's a chance that crowds might not be back in stadiums for 12 to 18 months. So if there's clubs in the league not willing to at least investigate and try as hard as they can to be a part of getting the league back behind closed doors, you could be looking at a very long time without a fully functioning league, and that would be a disaster for everybody.
I want to come back to that, and particularly the health side of it from the players' point of view. We do need to take a quick break. We are talking about the League of Ireland, and, well, as always, it seems the future of the League of Ireland, obviously in very different circumstances at the moment. We have David Rowe, the Sligo Rovers treasurer, Vinnie Perth, the Dundalk manager, and also Luke Byrne, the Shelburne player with us. 53106 is the text number. You can get in touch on social media as well. We'll take a very quick break.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
You're very welcome back to Thursday's football show. We're talking about the future of the League of Ireland with Vinnie Perth, the manager of the Premier Division champions Dundalk, Shelburne player Luke Byrne, and Sligo Rovers treasurer David Rowe. Before the break, Luke, we were talking about the possibility of games behind closed doors, and you touched on this ever-evolving situation as to how long it may be before we actually get football back with supporters in the ground. We have the Eredivisie today and saying that they don't, and they're not going to be allowed to have supporters in the ground until a vaccine is found, and it changes again every day, but we hear 12, 18, potentially 24 months if a vaccine is found at all, and they're going to have to find a way around that. From a player's point of view, it may come to a stage as professionals where while you can't engage in social distancing on the pitch, you can in everything around it. And players may need to make a decision as to whether or not they go and play, or they probably lose their jobs. Like, is that a scenario you expect to happen over the 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, I think that's the reality of it. Like, the longer we go without games, it's obvious that the clubs will struggle financially, and as players, we're impacted then by clubs being able to pay our contracts, and like a lot of lads and a lot of people in the league rely on their income from the club. So I think from speaking to lads, they do have reservations about the first document from the FAI, but I was stressing to them after being on a PFAI meeting, it was just a working document and there will be more clarity and detail. But I think we're all willing as players to put up with the small group training and the extra bus if that's what we're told we have to do, the outdoor team meetings, stuff like that, which we may not enjoy, but we'd be willing to put up with it if it meant we could get out and play on a Friday night. But I think, again, the Friday night, players would only be fully happy with it if the clarity around testing and that kind of thing was a bit clearer, because in that first document, a lot of players had a lot of questions after reading it.
What were those questions? What were the biggest concerns?
Just stuff around taking your temperature, and in the morning when you wake up and having your temperature taken when you get to training. I mean, you're relying on a lot of people to do it, and obviously you would hope that everyone would do it, but in a sense, you're trusting a lot of people you might not know that they've got to do these kind of things every day. And then there's a lot of details even around stuff like the cleaning of the training ground, the cleaning of the gear, things like that. And from our point of view of Shelburne, we've got lads who have day jobs, and so they're going to be exposed to more people. And are those jobs going to be taking the same measures that the League of Ireland proposes to take? I'm not quite sure. So it's not as straightforward as what the likes of the Premier League are talking about, maybe putting players in hotels and stuff, and they can kind of create a bubble and just test, and try and create this bubble of people who haven't been infected. I think it's a lot more difficult to achieve that here. But like I said, we all want this to happen, and I don't think players are going to be blockers in this, and that they're not going to dig their heels in unless they really feel strongly about it. And from speaking to a lot of lads and having meetings with our team, I think just the bottom line is just the test, and they want to be sure and confident that what the HSE proposed to do will be pulled off.
It does sound, though, from those sort of concerns, that we may end up in a situation where certain players, I'm not sure what the percentage will be, but certain players would need to step away from the game, because it would be difficult, I'd imagine, for a lot of players who are employed elsewhere, when most people are engaging in social distancing, you would hope, to go and play a match on a Friday night and then go back into work on a Saturday or a Monday with people who haven't been involved in the football match and all that they've been exposed to, or people with elderly parents or people who have other issues that they're dealing with and living with. That, unfortunately, if football does come back, Luke, certain players may not be in a position to return at that time.
Yeah, I suppose. I haven't had that conversation with anyone myself, but I'm sure there's people out there maybe you were thinking it, and it's going to become a reality for people, because for a number of lads at different teams in the league, they've got day jobs, which is very much their priority and their main source of income. And as much as they love football, if they have to choose, they might not be able to choose football. And look, if that's what it comes to, it's unfortunate. But I think the bigger picture is getting the league back up and running in whatever form you can, because just touching back to what we said earlier, the likelihood is there's not going to be crowds in the stadiums for at least until next year. And if we're just going to wash our hands of it, as Vinny says, and says, OK, see you then, lads, I think the game will be in big trouble.
Vinny, I'm sure you're having regular conversations with your players and, as you say, making sure that they're staying fit and ready. Have any of them expressed concerns about coming back and about the health implications of this? And what's your approach if there are players with those concerns when hopefully the time does come in the next few months when football does return?
Yeah, listen, we're no different. Just because we're full-time and we don't have day jobs, we still have players who have elderly parents. You know, I have family members at home myself. We're all in the same boat and we'll be very, very careful. I spent the guts of this week producing a COVID document where we've appointed a COVID officer within our club. Again, you know, really detailed how we would manage small group training, because ultimately, according to the HSE guidelines, phase four or phase five is about getting back on the pitch. Some of it's behind closed doors. And so, really, we have to live in the moment, and that's going back to decisions. Live in the moment. Whatever I say now is in the middle of a lockdown, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But as the country begins to open up with the guidance of the HSE, players will get more comfortable and be able to do different bits and pieces. So, you know, there's no money tree in Dundalk, despite what people tell you. We've got to earn income. But the hard work that people in the club are putting into getting the club COVID ready can be done at any club. We're not paying anybody extra money to become the COVID officer. It's just his job to be on top of everything. How we send our players in wellness forms in the morning. Again, we temperature test everybody before they will enter the ground. Little things like that. There's no cost involved with that, and that's just running a club proper like any other business. If our players have to give up, and I mean our players, and I mean League of Ireland players, I'm one of them. I'm not speaking just on behalf of Dundalk. But if our players have to give up football, they'll have to go to a building site, or they'll have to go to a factory or whatever. Well, I think I'd feel more comfortable going to work in a football club with COVID officers with really strict guidance than I would going into building sites in 2 and 3 months' time, where I think inevitably these HSC's rules were more likely to be laxed around those type of environments than football clubs. So, again, it is early. I think we need to be careful, and I think clubs will care about their players. The people at Shelbourne will care about their players. The people at Sligo will care about their players, and they will do stuff right. And I think ultimately, to the best of our ability, along with the guidelines, we'll keep people safe.
David Rowe, the Sligo Rovers treasurer, is with us as well. David, following on from what Vinny was saying there, in terms of preparations for a potential return to training, first off, and eventually playing matches, what are you doing at the moment at Sligo?
What we're doing at the moment, we have weekly programs with our players. Our manager, Liam Buckley, and our assistant manager, John Russell, are doing regular and our strength and conditioning guys doing regular sessions on Zoom. We're our players are dispersed. We are a full-time club. We draw players from all over the country. Probably a third of them are based here in the Northwest. So we're in kind of, each of the players has their own separate weekly program. Just to go back to what the lads were saying, like, again, from an employer, like, we're an employer of 30 people. We want to be, and we are, a responsible employer. And I do think, as Vinny said, the situation is evolving. We're all learning more. While the HSE guidelines, you know, certainly look at phase four for football coming back and phase five for soccer and to resume, I do think there's a some good dialogue going on between the FAI and the HSE on what those guidelines actually mean. I don't think that it's completely clear yet. But no, we're ready to go. I presume we're going to have a pre-season again of 2, 3, or 4 weeks. And I suppose one of the points that comes into this is that the longer we go from when we previously played and when people train together, the longer the pre-season is. So, again, without bringing it back to money all the time, that is an extra piece to finance. I'm not sure if Vinny thinks is 4 weeks reasonable at this stage. Is it 3 weeks? I don't really know in terms of pre-season. We're all going to be in the same boat. So I think the FAI take the view that can be a relatively short space of time because everybody's going to be starting from the same starting point. But yeah, we're in regular contact with our players who are just first time. And again, to go back to the health issues, some of our players have partners who, or family members who are compromised. So, above all of this, and above football, comes your responsibility to your employees and on a health and safety basis. So we're anxious to make sure that their health and our standards are not compromised. So,
could you see a situation, David, that if the health concerns were alleviated and that football was given the go-ahead to come back in September, but financially there were still issues, so there's games behind closed doors, there's been no great intervention from government or from FIFA, and that streaming doesn't bring in the revenue needed, could you foresee any situation where football in the League of Ireland could resume and that Sligo would have to opt out of it because financially it just wouldn't be viable for them?
I don't think that's a Sligo question only, with due respect. Mm. I think you're asking that question of about five clubs who are in a very similar situation to us, in the non-European clubs. So will the FAI press ahead with the four European qualifiers and perhaps one or two other clubs who have, large funders? I doubt it very much. I mean, we'd hate that. Like we're a long time good club, and we don't want to be letting half our squad go or all of our squad go or not participating. So we would do everything to make sure that we can actually participate. And I guess we would participate on with a lower budget squad if that's what we were forced to do. But like it comes back a little bit to what you were saying earlier on. There is a lack of detail on what, and I don't think there's a whole pile of progress made as yet, or certainly as the clubs haven't seen it, on what the financials around it might look like. It's important to point out as well that there's huge work going on within the FAI on the whole strategic plan for the league, the sponsorship, TV income and all of that good work is going on at a pace. But we'd do our very best to come back. Of course we would. But our club might look a bit different, and it might look a bit different than what we have contracted to at the moment. It would have to.
Yeah, Vinny, that's a situation that would benefit absolutely nobody, which would be a huge decline in the standards in the game if there was a greater divide. And I know part of the proposals for restarting football is that there will be a tournament of sorts before the league starts, and maybe if the league doesn't start in September, and European football does, which it's hard to imagine how European football could start and you could travel around Europe if you couldn't play games within Ireland. But that there'd be a tournament involving Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers, Bohemians, Derry City, the four teams involved in Europe. As good a financial situation, well, maybe good isn't the right word, but as a sustainable financial situation as certain clubs are in, if it isn't financially viable for every club to come back, surely there's no real way for football to return this year.
Listen, the last thing we need is, I think League of Ireland is very strong up until the start of this pandemic. I think we're on the crest of a wave. Irish football is not just here at home. I think internationally, 21s, etc., etc. I think we were about to hit a boom time. And that's my concern, that this will be lost. The last thing we need is Sligo, a full-time club. Again, it is a football community. and think what they've done, or you know, Cork City not being able to be able to compete. But to be honest with you, and someone has to say it, not playing football for another 6, 7, 8 months is a long way back for Irish football. The rest of Europe has got ahead of us in the last sort of 20, 30 years. There was a time where you drew a club from Slovakia in Europe and it was, you know, a banker home win. That doesn't happen anymore. Whether you play a team from Latvia, Liechtenstein, them days are gone. World football has moved on. And yes, we have a lot of players in an international setup based out of the Premiership at the moment, and we're very strong. For a number of years, we didn't have that, and we needed, and people dismissed League of Ireland. The FEI, in terms of the international team, needed the hand. Ironically, over the Trapattoni years, we were developing players that have gone on to be international, and as a nation, we would have struggled without what League of Ireland done. If you think about Keith Fahey's big, big goal that helped Ireland qualify under Trapattoni, he was made, Keith was made in League of Ireland. So we need to be careful that we don't lose what we've built up, as I said, over them 20 years. And if there's casualties at the result of that, everybody must try and help these people into their life, as I said, the FEI, other clubs. We can't have people like just Sligo, for example, because they're on the line, David's there, but we can't have clubs like that going bust. That would be doomsday scenario. But whatever chance we have of rebuilding our league and getting Sligo back in time, that would be wasted if the rest of us aren't playing football, because the industry would shut down and it'd be a long way building it back up. And that is a concern of mine. Like Luke, for example, is 26 years of age. He's had a lot of injuries. So many players are like that. His career will only last for so long, as he knows himself. The longer he's out of football, yes, he has to be out of it now, but the longer the league isn't at a certain level, then players, this is the one and only opportunity to do certain things. And I think we need to be very, very careful to go down the road of no football in Ireland.
This is probably a very difficult question for you to answer, and maybe a little bit unfair, but if we are looking at revenue, one of the main revenues you would hope that would stay strong is the revenue from European football that will go to four clubs. Like, could you see a scenario where actually there's solidarity within the league, a more socialist model almost within the league, where Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers, the more successful clubs now, I don't want to say bail out the struggling clubs, but that they make sure that there is still a vibrant footballing community over the coming years, because there will be a benefit obviously as well to those stronger teams in that you're getting a better quality of football week in, week out.
Yeah, to be fair, there is an argument for that, and I spoke earlier on about Ivory Towers. The one who's sitting in an Ivory Tower in that argument is definitely David. What Sligo have done to their ground and the money they invested from European football those couple of years back when they had that success, you can see it when you turn up in the ground. The problem we have now is we have huge inequality in our league. So Tallaght Stadium is a council-owned facility, so we're not all playing off a level play field. Derry City is a council-owned facility. Cork City is owned by the Munster FA. Waterford is owned by basically a council-owned facilities. We have the council providing funding for Bohemians and Shelbourne at the moment, which is brilliant. I welcome it. I live in the Tallaght area. What a brilliant addition to this area the stadium is. It just helps so many fans walking around with Rovers jersey. Kills me sometimes, but it's great in other sense. So we're not on a level playing field. So to be honest with you, I don't think Dundalk would be in a rush to give away their European money until we're playing on a level playing field and funding for everybody is equal. And we haven't had any funder from the Louth Council in any way, shape or form that helps us develop our ground. So therefore, we would have to be very cautious of that approach. But to be honest, as a League of Ireland man, I understand that question. But as speaking on behalf of Dundalk, we have to be very careful.
Can I respond to that? Like, Sligo didn't get a single cent of funding to do our ground. We've done it all ourselves. Dundalk have made a decision, fair play to them, to put their resources into the pitch. We put our resources, some of our resources from European prize money, into the ground. Dundalk have deliberately made a different decision to that. So now to come and look for that from local authorities or whatever, you have the money, you can go and develop the ground.
No, with all due respect, our owners own the club now just over 2 years. Okay, they weren't here when we won European money, so the people who own the club now aren't responsible for what happened before the last 2 years. So there has been a huge amount of changes done in Dundalk. Yes, vast majority of it has been player-led, not just in terms of investment in players and the signing of players. I mean, we've spent nearly £1 million on our training facilities to have players able to operate at the highest level. The YDC building is state of the art. We've players coming from the UK telling us our training facilities are better than what they've operated in the UK. So it hasn't been all wasted on players' wages. It's development of our under 13s, 15s, 17s and 19s are training in gyms and using video rooms. They have their own strength and conditioning coaches. So we've invested it into our players, yes, but not players' wages solely. And I think there's a slight difference. And by the way, very much complimentary of what Sligo done with their money. It's a model that, you know, we can take some things from at Dundalk and certainly do. But I think every club should be supported by the local council. When we play and there's 3,500 people in Dundalk on a Friday night, there's certainly a lack of antisocial behaviour in the area and et cetera and et cetera. So I think clubs provide a huge service to the local community. And all we're looking for is somebody to come and help us and work with us, not build stuff for us, but at least work with us. I think that's a fair question to ask.
We are tight on time. Just before we finish up then, David, on the proposals that have come out sort of today, and they're not even, I don't think, at proposal stage yet, but of potentially playing all matches at the Aviva Stadium or setting up four different hubs around the country, if it was financially viable, would that be something that Sligo Rovers would buy into?
Of course, yeah. If it's financially viable and HSC sign up and yeah, bring it on. Like as Vinny said, we all want football to restart. Like that's what we are. You know, we've players, we're fans who are chomping at the bit to get back at it. So absolutely, bring it on.
Yeah, Luke, is that your attitude as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said earlier, we all want to get back playing as soon as possible, and I think it's all about the health stuff for the players and clarity around the testing and guarantees and just a bit more clarity on the first document. I think once all that is a bit clearer and players are happier with it, you know, we're raring to go.
Is there any sort of a time limit on this for you, Vinny, in terms of making a decision on this season?
No, I think the one thing we have is a bit of time. We've time on our side. Europe qualifications are set for this year. So whenever Europe starts, whether it's August, September, October, we've already got our clubs decided. And we don't have to have European teams picked till next year. There will be issues around contracts and windows. So we have to be conscious of that. People are contracted effectively at the end of the season.
Yeah, have you done much work on that? Because even the Bundesliga today, as part of their returns, saying that they wanted to be done by the end of June because most contracts finish at the end of June, or certainly I think they could have up to 100 players out of contract towards the end of June. So they want to avoid any of the issues that will cause. Have you looked into that as a club yet, Vinny, and as to what might happen come the end of November?
Yeah, I suppose we'd be led by FIFA. We'll make them rules. We have had certain documentation, but it's sort of above my pay grade, but we are investigating where that would leave us. Effectively, Luke will tell you, particularly being a member of the PFAOI, a lot of contracts in our league are end of season. It's EOS is written into a lot of contracts. And that covers people getting to an FAOI Cup final or getting to a group stage Europa League, what we did back in 16. So players are technically still under contract. That is the difficulty. We don't know when that moves into another window where that would hold. We can't simply extend the league by 6 months and expect clubs to keep people under contract for an extra 6 months. So it is difficulty. We're heading into minefields unless we get up and running, or at least a plan very soon that we can work towards.
Have you done much work on that yet, David? Have you any sense of the difficulties that might be caused if the league went on past the middle of November?
Yeah, I mean, the
we have done some work on it. As Finney said, it is a bit of a minefield. It looks as if the players are effectively out of contract, I would think, at the end of October, unless they're on a multi-season contract. So, you potentially have the situation where if the season is changed, if the season does restart, that players will actually be free to move at the end of October with maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months left of the current season. Mm. So, yes, we're very conscious of it. We're working on it. But, I think some kind of gentleman's agreement between the clubs would be, extremely useful so that there isn't mayhem at the end of October.
Yeah, a lot of obstacles to get over the coming months before football returns, but I think we're all in agreement that we do hope we see some live football here in Ireland over the coming weeks and months. Vinnie Perth, David Rowe, Luke Byrne, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.